Blog Talk Radio.
This is inaugural day for the president and whoever that might be. Of course, we have Mr. O this time, for second time, hopefully the last. There are people who are trying to change the 22nd Amendment so that Obama can run for a third, fourth president for life. We've heard that before with some of these dictators. Anyway, I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. We have some interesting political animals today. The youngest man to run and be elected vice president was John C. Breckinridge, a senator. I believe he studied law with his father, who was a judge. We have John C. Fremont, General John C. Fremont, who married famous Missouri senator's daughter. He was known as the Pathfinder. He has quite a role in the founding of the American California, with an ancestor of mine rode with him, and or my mother's ancestor. Well, it's mine too. And he also had a hand in the Republican Party before Lincoln. On this day, here are the birthdays today. We've got the three Johns. We have John C. Fremont, General John C. Fremont, the Pathfinder, John Cable Breckinridge, who the youngest vice president. And John Browning, Browning invented his, John Moses, his middle name, and he was leading people to a better gun. He invented the Browning rifle. Quite a guy. Among the other birthdays today are Barney Clark, who had the first artificial heart. He was a dentist, Mormon, and he, I think he lasted a couple of months. The great English actor who starred in A Man for All Seasons, and he also played in the movie, which was fiction, The Train, where he played a Nazi officer, colonel, who was stealing art from the French, from the Louvre, and Burt Lancaster played the engineer, Lebec, and it was a black and white film, great film, and Paul Scofield, great English actor. He was also in other films. A Man for All Seasons, where he played Sir Thomas More, and he got an Academy Award, but he didn't come. Another actor born on this day, Telly A. Savalas. The middle name is Aristotle, and he was in a bunch of a film with Lee Marvin, where they played these army convictees who were given a chance to blow up a chateau or killed German officers who were gathered in a chateau in France. It was fiction, of course. And he played the crazy one, and he used to have a lollipop and used to say, "He who loves you," or "Who loves you." And he also had a brother. Robbie Benson, he was actually Jewish heritage. The name was Siegel. I think his father was a screenwriter, and he played a Native American in Running Brave. Among the deaths today, the great English composer John Dowland. We had Louis XVI, who was executed by the Robespierre and Marat and all these other crazy Frenchmen during the French Revolution. And then a great writer, he was gay, part of that whole English gay class system, Lytton Strachey, but his first name was Giles. Great, but not well-publicized composer. He was German-Italian, Emanuel Wolf Ferrari, born today. Another great English writer, 1984, George Orwell, born, I believe, in India or Africa, but his real name was Eric Arthur Blair. And if you ever have it just may come up on Jeopardy or some other quiz shows like that. Another great actor, Jewish heritage, starred in Anne Frank, and I think he also played in the first version of Captain Dreyfus. Case, the Emile Zola story. Joseph Skillcutt died on this day. Actors who starred with Ronald Reagan and Sheridan. The Admiral who was in charge of the Atomic Energy Commission during the Eisenhower administration, Admiral Louis Strauss. He wasn't related to the Strausses of Vienna who wrote all those waltzes and marches. He did a different type of march, and he marched to a different type of tune. Great football player, since we mentioned Ronald Reagan, who played in Newt Rockne. Howard Red Grange, he was part of the Galloping Ghost. Great football. I think he also wrote a column in his later years. Back to the political animals on this day. Among the events, in 1861, Jefferson Davis, who was served also in the Mexican War, he was a great man, even though he betrayed his loyalty to the Union. Served in the Mexican War with honor. He was a senator. He was also Secretary of War. He also supposedly imported camels for patrol duty for the Army in the Southwest. But the camels disappeared, although they say they sometimes see camels wandering around. I've never seen one. Anyway, Jefferson Davis and four of the Southern senators resigned their U.S. Senate seats and joined the Confederacy. And of course, after the war, they wanted to hang Jefferson Davis. In 1880, the first separate sewage system was set up in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, the reason is there was a separate sewage system, and it took them a while to learn from London. London had this black plague epidemic, and the sewage was going into the storm drains, and people were getting the water and the bugs and everything from the disease from those storm drains. And London set up in the late 16th century a separate municipal sewage system, but it took Americans nearly 200 years to set up a separate sewer system, and it started in Memphis. The first opera broadcast via radio was not from the Metropolitan in New York, but from Chicago, the Chicago Lyric Opera, 1927. The first televised inaugural parade was in 1949, and that was Harry Truman's. And he didn't run for re-election in his own right in 1952. He succeeded FDR. 1952, we had Nehru, who was a successor to Gandhi. His Congress Party, which still runs India today, won election to the Indian Parliament and controls it to this day. In 1964, the first black was appointed. Carl T. Rowan was appointed the head of the United States Information Agency, an agency which was also connected at one time to, I think, Edward R. Murrow. Among the events today on this inaugural day, in March, it used to be the inaugural day, but during FDR's administration, I think it was the second or third, they changed it to January 20th. And when January 20th falls on a Sunday, it has to be on a Monday. Now, we had had one president who was president for a day. I think his name was Atkinson, because of this Sunday inaugural day screw-up. And he lasted for one day. And we'll get into that another day. It's a little-known thing which I researched when I was doing my book, Political Animals, which is the title that I'll be using for this blog talk, Amicus Veritas radio show. But William Henry Harrison, whose picture you will see here, General Harrison, Tippecanoe, and Tyler II, that was the thing that got him elected. He defeated Tecumseh from Indiana, and he gave the longest inaugural speech. It was something like 40 minutes, and he did it on a cold day without wearing a hat. He caught pneumonia, and he died a month and a half later, and they called him His Excellency John Tyler became president for one term, and he succeeded William Harrison, who really was unable to do anything because he got sick because he did not clothe himself properly on a cold inaugural day in March. Tyler's ancestor was Harry Truman, whose first was the first president to have his inaugural parade televised in 1949. And then we have John C. Breckinridge, another Southerner, Tyler was too, who was the youngest man elected vice president. And he served also with Jefferson Davis in the Confederacy during the American Civil War. Among the public policy questions, before we get into that, I think this is appropriate since it is, they're doing a big hoopla in Washington. I think this is important that Americans need to realize the importance of the script and the warnings in this movie, The Best Man, which was Gore Vidal wrote the book, which became one of his screenplays. He also did one on Captain Alfred Dreyfus. We'll get into that another day. But I'm going to play some audio excerpts from which we use in our lectures in the San Francisco Unified School District, some excerpts from that film. This is Power Is Not a Toy.
Finished. Now, I am here to tell you this. That power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon. And the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you.
Now,
it never will be.
This goes on in all types of politics on all levels. We've seen most recently a guy who ran for U.S. Senate in Illinois. His name was Ryan, and he was exposed during the campaign primary for attempting to pimp his wife. And this type of if you want to call it blackmail, goes on. And here is Senator Cooley, who incidentally was played by Charles Lawton, who was gay, and here he's warning presidential candidate about devious men.
You get to living like a mole in the whole of that old capital. Me, I just sit out here for a while, most every day, winter and summer. You look like you got the burden, son. Sit down. Creed, haven't you, Senator? Look out there, don't shinny down on top of you. You're dealing with devious men, Senator. Yes, sir. Devious, powerful men. Hardeman Fletcher took a plane to Europe this afternoon. Mission to the president. Gonna make a study of world currency problems. You know that?
Now, this goes on where there's things in political figures' background, and there these devious men will do things. And here, a senator, his name is Brig, who's from Utah, served in the Army, and he had an affair or whatever, and I won't call it a playing, but this goes on with all young men these things happen, especially when in prison or in service, and it's a passing fantasy or passage in life, you can call it that. But here they're attempting to blackmail him because he won't give the president a vote for Henry Fonda, who wants to become Secretary of State. And here is some of the things that go on in politics.
Strange phone call, Briggs.
Strange?
Before you go on with a Leffingwell matter, you ought to remember what happened in Hawaii. And then he hung up. What happened in Hawaii, Briggs?
What was the voice like?
Oh, he made it sound like he knew some kind of nasty secret.
Well, I've been on the front pages the past few days, bound to get some crackpot call. Just hang up if you get any more.
Are you sure you're doing the right thing about Leffingwell, Briggs?
Yes, darling, I'm sure. Don't worry about it.
What did you mean about Hawaii?
I was stationed there when I was in the army, but I don't see what that would have to do with Leffingwell. Just some crackpot, darling, that's all.
Now, I hope you got the message on that, because we suspect this is what I hear from our sources, that some people in Washington in Congress may have been what I call lavender mail, have things in their background, and they're being compelled to do things that they wouldn't do, but because somebody claims or may even have controversial material or dirt on these politicians. And these things do go on, and people should realize that politics is a rough game. Not only do you need a lot of money, but having seen Cook County politics and politics out here, as well as in other countries, you've got to be, if you want to play in this game, you got to be a big league player, and be very careful. Everybody's done something that they would prefer, that be forgotten, but you can't make a career out of it. And this is what I always tell people: as long as you don't make a career out of it, you should be able to go on with your life. And I think this is really important. This was before Mr. O and his left-wing crowd, the Alinsky crowd, but Will Rogers was the great political humorist, and I think this is important, this little clip from him, on how he was talking about the bankers in the 30s, and this stuff still goes on. I think this is very relevant even 70 years later.
Loan shark and interest hound. I have addressed every form of organized graft in the United States, excepting Congress. So it's naturally a pleasure to me to appear before the biggest. You are without a doubt the most disgustingly rich audience I ever talked to, with the possible exception of the bootleggers union, local number one, combined with the enforcement officers. Now, I understand you hold this convention every year to announce what the annual GIP will be. I have often wondered where the depositors hold that convention. I had an account in the bank once, and the banker, he asked me to withdraw it. Said I used up more red ink, and the account was worse. I see where your wife come with you. You notice I say come, not withdraw. I see where your convention was opened by a prayer. You had to send outside your ranks to get somebody that knew how to pray. You should have had one creditor there. He could show you how to pray. I noticed in the prayer, the clergyman announced to the Almighty that the bankers were here. Well, it wasn't exactly an announcement. It was more in the nature of a warning. He didn't tell the devil, as he figured to. He knew where you all were all the time anyhow. I see by your speeches that you are very optimistic of the business conditions of the coming year. Boy, I don't blame you. If I had your dough, I'd be optimistic too. Will you please tell me what you all do with the vice president the bank has? I guess that's to get anybody more discouraged before you can see the main guy. Well, the United States is the biggest business institution in the world. They've only got one vice president. Nobody's ever found anything for him to do. I've met most of you as I come out of the stage door of the Follies every night. I want to tell you that any of you that are capitalized at under $1 million need to hang around there. Our girls may not know their Latin and Greek, but they certainly know their Dun and Bradstreet. You have a wonderful organization. I understand you have 10,000 here, and with what you have in the various federal prisons brings your membership up to around 30,000. So goodbye, paupers. You're the finest bunch of Shylocks that ever foreclosed a mortgage on a widow's home.
That was Will Rogers, who later died in a plane crash in Alaska with Wiley Post during the 30s. And I think Newt Rockne was also on that plane. He was a great political humorist. We don't have this type of humor today. It's sad. He was, I think, part Cherokee Indian heritage from Oklahoma and a great humorist. And he also starred in a couple of films. Now, our public policy questions, we are going to continue with these. Should public housing authority officials responsible for slum conditions who failed to correct these conditions, should these public housing authority employees and officials be required to live in the public housing that they haven't repaired, rehabilitated, or cleaned up? Now, in when Jane Byrne ran for mayor of Chicago back in the late 70s, she worked with Richard Daley. Her husband was a Marine pilot who died in a plane crash at in Glenview, Illinois, I think, in the Navy base up there. Also, there is the Great Lakes Naval Training Center where all the sailors get trained now. They go there. And, of course, Steve Neary was one of those. Anyway, she ran against the machines appointed a successor to Richard Daley, who reportedly died, had a heart attack while he was on the toilet seat. This is what I was told. Jane Byrne, what had happened was Chicago was hit with the biggest snowfall, and it paralyzed the city, and the guy's name was Blandick, first Croatian to be mayor of Chicago, and he failed to mobilize the city's snow removal resources to clear the streets and get the economy moving because everything just about came to a standstill. It happened twice in Chicago. It happened once when I was going to college there in the 60s. Anyway, she ran against the snow and won. And one of the worst, some of the worst housing projects were in Chicago. We have the Robert Taylor Homes, which is connected to an official in the Obama maladministration, is what we call it. They still haven't cleaned up the HUD. There was Cabrini Green, which ranked with Igo Pruitt housing project in St. Louis, Geneva Towers, and Hunter's View here in San Francisco, and others. And Cabrini Green was on the near north side of Chicago, and it was just a hopeless public housing project funded by HUD. And it was just as bad as the Robert Taylor Homes, which was just about all black on Chicago's near south side. So Jane Byrne did this political stunt. She decided she was going to live in Cabrini Green and thereby embarrass the public housing officials to clean it up. She stayed there very briefly. It was so bad even she couldn't stay, and she had Chicago police protection. But I'm thinking of the 8th Air Force in World War II. Great movie, 12 o'clock high. And to get that 8th Air Force up to performance in their daylight precision bombing, Gregory Peck starred as General Savage, appropriate name. Anyway, what he did was he put together the non-performers who could perform, these airmen and officers, and put them in a plane called the Leper Colony. maybe this is what we need in the public housing projects around the United States, is to set up one project called the Leper Colony and have these officials who get paid huge salaries, if they're not performing as public officials in charge of public housing, require them to live in the housing that they let go to seed and deteriorate and need rehabilitation and repair. So that's one of our public policy questions. The second is, we have a guy, David Campos, who came here illegally. He supposedly went to law school, but that doesn't mean much if you look at some of the sleazes that that had bar cards. Anyway, he got elected. It may have been an illegal election because of he worked for a member of the Board of Supervisors, and there supposedly is a one-year ban on people who handle public funds to run for the office that distributes those same public funds. Well, anyway, this illegal alien, he's also the sexual preference advocate, gay maricone type. He wants to rename San Francisco International Airport, which George Christopher built, he wants to rename it after the mayor of Castro Street, a drug dealer, and a man who was assassinated, because he harassed an ex-cop named Dan White, and he did other things. But Harvey Milk was not a nice man. He did serve in the U.S. Navy, and I presume honorably. Never seen his DD-214, which is a discharge paper. But Harvey Milk did a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. And this whole idea of renaming things after politicians and other political operatives is not only costly, it confuses mail deliveries, listings, and telephone books. And one of the problems with this is the airlines have enough trouble just flying their planes and paying for fuel costs and keeping the ticket prices down. This will require a lot of technical rehabilitation, repair, changing names. It's also the tickets will be screwed up. And also all the computer listings around the world will have to be changed. So the hell with this. And, of course, this guy is running for the state legislature. He should have been – there's an issue, should illegal aliens be allowed to run for public office in America. If they came here illegally, why should we give them the opportunity for someone who comes here legally and runs for office? And we do have those people. We have some fine public officials who were born in other countries. We have some fine judges who were born in other countries who came here legally, and they came here to contribute and not to corrupt. And this is what's increasingly occurring with these illegal aliens who come here, and they connect with a particular group of people who get them elected to offices, and then they proceed to give themselves condos, reward their friends, and rip off the public and become non-accountable and push things like sexual preference agendas and other things that really don't belong in politics and which should be kept private. So anyway, this is an issue that we need to talk about, because we're seeing more and more of this around the country, renaming streets, renaming schools, and renaming them after living people. We don't know what those people will be at when they die, whether they still have the same reputation, or they've been indicted, or they've been to federal prison, or they've raped young boys or girls, ripped off millions. We don't know. And it's a very bad idea to rename public projects after living people as well. And, of course, my friend George Christopher would be appalled if he were around and this was going on. So we're going to end with politics and poker. We're probably going to see more of this in the Mr. O administration. NPR brought up the fact the day after the election that Richard Nixon won big time in 1972, and within 2 years he was impeached, and of course he resigned. So, and McGovern only won one state. McGovern was an honorable man. I voted for him, although I'm an independent. Anyway, we'll play our end with our theme. We'll be back Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have some more interesting. We'll have an interview, I hope, with the Prime Minister of New Zealand on something about what's the best thing for a cold. It's surprising you what he said.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Spence.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Not quite. We're going. This is Peter Paul Bozzolo. We'll be back Wednesday. And this will be available, and also go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We have an unusual Navy ship that just arrived in San Francisco, and we have the video. So go to Amicus Veritas YouTube, AmicusVeritas. Good night.